bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Finding God in Prison here at Holy Spirit Radio. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This past weekend, my friends, I was ordained a deacon officially in the Diocese of Trenton. The ordination took place this past Saturday at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton, New Jersey, my home parish. And to just tell you, it's been a blessing and an honor to move into the ordained position as a deacon in the Roman Catholic Church. And I thank God for the opportunity, because it's been many years that I've wanted to do this. And this program in itself is a five-year program and requires a master's in theology. And so there are some requirements that you have to fulfill. And that journey has come to fruition. But with God's help, he has seen me through it. And I just tell you that for 29 years, we've been involved with ministry in pilgrimages, in prison ministry, in church ministry as a lector, Eucharistic minister, cantor, and pro-life committee chairman, and all kinds of opportunities have come my way once I was open to doing the work of the Lord. But this has taken us to a higher level. And when I say us, I mean my wife and I, Maregia, and our family, truly, who have supported me in this effort to become a deacon. And so this past weekend, the ordination took place. Five men were ordained to the permanent diaconate, and one was a transitional deacon to become a priest next year. And it's a journey, a spiritual journey that has been going on for me for many years, and I've enjoyed the journey. With God's help, he has seen me through it and helped me to complete the process. And this past Sunday, I had the privilege of doing my first homily over at St. Mary's at the 10:30 Mass, and it was a homily that was well received by everyone. And so God bless, the Holy Spirit kind of took me over and allowed me to touch the hearts and minds of all who was present at the Mass. And with that, I'd like to just go into a little bit about the show Finding God in Prison, which is so important, because if you're looking for God, where do you look, my friends? First of all, we have to look within. Are you thirsty for the Lord? Are you missing something? Is there something missing in your life? Do you feel a void that cannot be filled? And that's a very important observation, objectively speaking. When you're looking in the mirror and you look at yourself, is there something missing in your life? And if there is, then it's time to see what exactly is the thing that you are looking for. So in the WINGS program, we talk about the balance spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I know for myself, the spiritual element was not where it needed to be many years ago. The physical and the mental were fine, but the spiritual was missing. And so I was out of balance. I needed to pursue God. I needed to fulfill whatever it is that God wanted me to do, to find the peace within. And with that, I had to make some changes. So in December of 1998, just about January 99, I made a transition from working for Flight Safety International as a instructor pilot, director of standards, and moved forward into aligning myself with God 100%. And that truly was the beginning. It was a major decision to make the transition at 38 years old to move into a stronger relationship, a deeper relationship with God and His Father. I was thirsty. And the Word of God talks about, you know, that thirst and quenching that thirst. So if you're thirsty for God, then, you know, where else do you need to go but to our Lord Jesus Christ? So you, objectively speaking, once again, we look at ourselves and say, is there something missing? Do I have a void in my life? I may own a home. I may have cars. I may have vacations and good work, but there's still something missing. And we have to identify with that and understand that we have work to do. And so we want to, you know, explore that position, because a lot of people in the world are without their faith, without a relationship with God. And they are pursuing all kinds of material things, looking to fill that same void, and it will never be filled until they move into the direction of God. And through His Word, God can help you to develop that great relationship. And it's important, my friends. You know, so as we look at ourselves independently, objectively, where are you in your relationship with God? Are you stagnating? Are you growing? Or are you diminishing in faith? And it's a journey. It's a process. And I want to explore that today because, again, the show's title here is Finding God in Prison. And for many of our people in prison, finding God is very, very important, as they are role models for their children, and they have families who are in need of growing in faith as well. So it's important. I know for myself, reaching the permanent diaconate formation program was a highlight for me, taking it to a higher level. And recently we had a retreat the weekend before we went to the ordination down at the St. Joseph Retreat House in Seaside Heights. And our six men who were ordained this past weekend at St. Mary's Cathedral got to know one another. Although we were in school, five of the six, for the past 4 or 5 years going through the program, we were so busy with courses and studying and papers that we never had time to really kick back and to talk to each other and focus on a variety of different topics within our conferences that we had down at the retreat. So the retreat at the St. Joseph House by the Sea was a phenomenal retreat in Seaside Heights, and I highly recommend it. It's just a beautiful location that can hold 22 people. And it's run by three beautiful nuns who would love to have you as their guest. And it's a retreat house, so you can do a men's retreat, woman's retreat, a couple's retreat, a praise and worship retreat. And the meals are phenomenal. The location is ideal because it's right on the ocean. And I just tell you that all of us really left that retreat house with a lot of peace. And we were prepared for the ordination, which came just 2 weeks later. And I share that with you because I have been on many retreats, and each and every one of them is different. But if you're looking to fill a void, if you're looking to, you know, grow in faith, going on retreat is one way to do it. And we've talked in the past about going on pilgrimage and going to the shrines and going to Mass and praying the Rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet and all kinds of other beautiful things that can be done while on pilgrimage. But the retreat also is a time to reflect back on your life, where you are, and what you want to do. And God will lead you through prayer. God says, seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. And that's the real message today within our program, because back again in December of 1998, I left corporate America to do exactly just that, to seek thee first the kingdom of God and to find, you know, what God wanted me to do. Why was he tapping me on the shoulder? Why was he calling me for the past 5 years since the summer of 1992? And I needed to know why he was calling me. And so from the summer of 92 to the spring of 2022, we're looking at 30 years later, here we are ordained now as a deacon. So I know now why God was calling me, you know, and basically calling me into service to other people, into service for him, into service for families, for children, for seniors, for couples, for the sacraments, to help people baptize their babies, to help people to get married in the church, to help people with their arrangements when someone passes away, to conduct a funeral or a wake service. And so the position of a deacon, which I now hold, gives me those opportunities not only week in and week out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, but also to be there for people at special times in their lives, such as the birth of a child, a wedding between a man and a woman, which is God's calling, or when someone passes away within a family, to be there for the loss of a loved one, and to conduct a wake service or a committal within a cemetery. These are such important times to once again touch the heart and the mind of people who are present for each and every ceremony, whether it be a good time or a sad time. God has called me to be there for people, to help them through these challenges. And I just tell you that it is a blessing. And we have been blessed with many, many ministries over the years, from prison ministry to pro-life ministry and pilgrimage ministry, evangelical parades carrying the message of family life in Philadelphia. But today, being an ordained deacon allows me to touch people in a different way, to be there at the altar, to support directly the priest who is celebrating the Mass, and to help to bring the love of God to the people by reading the Word of God in the Gospel of Jesus Christ through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, helping to touch hearts and to change minds. And on Sunday, I gave my first homily, which I mentioned before. And, you know, I had a lot of feedback from the homily, and it was all positive. And I was very happy about that because, you know, this is a unique moment where the priest or the deacon has opportunity to help people to move forward from whatever situation they're dealing with. It could be depression, it could be anxiety, it could be the transition, you know, from married life to a single life due to the loss of a loved one. It could be, you know, some other situation, you know, that you've encountered that's very private. And so the opportunity is there for the deacon or the priest to not only read the gospel, but also to provide commentary directly associated with the practical application of the gospel itself. How are we going to use this word? How are we going to, you know, apply this word to daily life? And in the Gospel of John this past weekend, we talked heavily about keeping God's word, which is so important. Can we do better? Can we strive together as a community, you and I, to keep God's word. Now, God says many things, you know, and we are to keep his word. And God says, whoever loves me will keep my word. And so if we love God, we will do our very, very best to keep his word. Some of the things God says to do are things such as, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. The golden rule, to treat others as you would like to be treated. Honor your father and your mother. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Husbands, care for your wife as you care for your own body. A man should leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two become one flesh. So God calls us to do many things. Those are just a couple of things, but in daily life, are you and I keeping God's word, my friends? Or are we pushing it away, ignoring it? We need to rise to the occasion, set higher standards. If we are to grow in love, in a deep relationship with Jesus Christ, and one day find ourselves with our Father in heaven in eternity, keeping God's word will put a smile on the Lord's face. And the Lord says, whoever does not keep my word doesn't love me. Whoever does not love me will not keep my word. So which is it for you and I? Do we love the Lord or do we not love him? The goal is to keep his word, so actions speak louder than words. And the key is to prove it out in daily life in what we call the 168 in the Wings program, the total amount of time in a week. But keeping God's word is important. And once again, if you're thirsty for the Lord, you have that void inside. You're looking for something. You have a need to be satisfied, void to be filled, a problem to be solved. The answer is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to let you know that this program has been on the air since 2014. We're now in our eighth year, with the help of Dale and Jane Meyer and Frank Eliason. Dale and Jane, of course, the founders of Holy Spirit Radio, have given us their support and confirmed and affirmed our programs, Finding God in Prison, and also Clear for Takeoff. But we have arrived at a higher level today due to the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ, through Dale and Jane Meyer, through Frank Eliason, our producer, who is doing phenomenal work here for many years. And, you know, we just acknowledge that, because as you develop a stronger relationship with Christ, you will be in a position that's new to you, a position where like-minded people are joining you to do God's work in different ways. And that's what we do here at Holy Spirit Radio, producing shows, delivering the message of the gospel. And basically, as an affiliate station of EWTN, this is our mission since March 19th, 1999, when I actually first came on the air on Bill Miller's show, which was 23 years ago, Voices for the Unborn. So, you know, from back in 1999 to today, you know, God has really shown me personally many things, giving me a lot of exposure to good people like Dale and Jane and Frank and Bill Miller and Kathy Gasson and Patrick McCabe, Mark Halk, and all kinds of people who've come through Holy Spirit Radio, like Dave Parker. And, you know, It's a privilege and an honor to be here to talk about it, to acknowledge the good work that people have done year after year after year, because it's a team effort. Just like the Lord put together his 12 apostles, those men went out two by two to do the work of the Lord, and the Lord commissioned them to do the work. And that's what he gives us each in our own way. He utilizes the talents of all of us. No talent is left without utilization. Everyone is useful. Even St. Paul, who was the persecutor of the church, persecutor of Christians, God saw his talents and turned his heart around, allowing to write 13 books of the Bible. And, you know, each and every week when we quote St. Paul in one of his letters, we are reminded of the Lord's generosity in giving St. Paul a second chance. And having worked on death row with men who were convicted of homicide and multiple homicides, it's a privilege to be in that category, because the Lord, again, wastes no one's talent. So what is your talent that you want to bring to the table of the Lord? What can you offer the Lord? What is it that you would like to do for the Lord? Because, you know, we want to put our faith into action. In the book of James, it talks about becoming a doer of the word and not a hearer only, and to take action. And we are called to take action in different ways, to objectively make a list of our own talents, and how can we use those talents for the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we help his children, his sons and daughters? How can we help God's children? Think about it. What are your talents? How can you bring them to the table of the Lord to touch hearts and to change minds, to make life easier for people in any way? Because that's one of the fruits of the faith, is that we will use our talents to help people. And there have been many people who have come through my years of service. For instance, Joan Fairburn, who I met at St. Ignatius, who became our secretary under my father's vineyard for 13 years. My father's vineyard, a nonprofit organization, which truly is driven by the WINGS program, which has been doing inmate reentry and recovery work for over 25 years and better, since our first presentation at Olney Elementary School and the next presentation at Our Lady of Calvary in Northeast Philadelphia. And so, you know, Joan was with us for 13 years. We had, you know, great work by her in the Department of Prisons in New Jersey, Department of Corrections. Joni was very influential in setting us up with some interviews where we could expand the WINGS program. And we also had Frank Fazilor, who was a great help to us in his accounting work, who did our books for many years. And we have to say, you know, God has blessed us with bringing us good people. We have Bill Monick, who is with us as a facilitator in the WINGS program, who actually facilitated the program on his own and co-facilitated with me many times in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And so God will bring like-minded people to us if we are open to God's word, we have time for God's word, and we are willing to share God's word with other people. And because the faith is like a flower, we have to let it bloom. We keep watering it and nourishing it and growing. And God blesses us with opportunities to do that time and time and time again. And, you know, we are just closing out the month of May, our Blessed Mother's Month, and our Blessed Mother Mary truly has been there with me through all of my spiritual growth, as she was there in the beginning and prepared me for my relationship with Christ. And I just tell you that without our Blessed Mother, you know, I'm not sure where I would be today. So it's important that we honor Mary and express our gratitude to our Lord for our Blessed Mother Mary and all that she did for our Lord while he, you know, went through his passion, death, and resurrection. And as a mother, Mary was there for her son. So today and right now on our program, we acknowledge all mothers out there who are there for their sons. And I have met many mothers whose children are incarcerated or are in recovery homes, challenged with either, once again, imprisonment or recovery from alcohol or substance abuse. So I take my hat off to the mothers out there who are seeing their sons through day in and day out, the mothers who have truly endured and suffered by watching their sons or daughters go through hardships and burdens and obstacles, to include, you know, incarceration and all kinds of challenges with recovery from substance abuse and alcoholism. But God will bring us through if, once again, we are open to God. And if we set aside quality time for God, it's important. But if we're too busy running around, my friends, we'll never reach the point at which that thirst has been quenched. But for me, I have a great peace today because the thirst has been quenched. God has given me the thing I needed most, which was my spiritual growth. And it took many years to get it, but it was so important to pursue, and I had to put aside my actual career and focus on God Himself. And that puts me in alignment with what God says to do, which is to seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. So that is the direction by the word of God. Seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. So if you're not seeking God first, if you're not engaged in the word of God, if you're not allowing yourself to allocate quality time to pray, either by yourself or in a prayer group, if you're not engaged in the word of God on a, you know, a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, yearly basis, if you're not giving enough time to it, then you're probably not satisfied yet. So I encourage you to give more time to your faith and to working on developing that relationship with Jesus Christ. My friends, that's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. I want to thank you for tuning in with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. Have a great day, and God bless you.